get to talk with our District 42 State Senator Mike Jacobson on his way to legislative events in Lincoln today. And how you doing, Senator?
I'm doing great. How are you, Corey?
I'm doing great. You had a big event over the weekend. You now are a proud grandpapa, I guess, huh?
I am, yes. My daughter, our daughter Mary, gave birth to our first grandchild, a little boy, and Dennis Michael Vagelis. He weighed 8 pounds, 32 ounces, so good-sized boy. Mary did have to have a C-section, so she's not moving around as quickly as she would have otherwise, but it's really surreal, I must say, that is very, I mean, he's just a perfect grandchild. I can't believe, it's hard to quit looking at him when you're holding him.
I'm sure it is.
And we're very excited. I have to say, all of the miscarriages that Julie and I went through, and Mary's had some issues herself, and so the reality of actually having a grandchild and holding them in your arms is just, and they're completely healthy. Wow, what a gift from God.
Yeah.
We couldn't be happier.
Nothing tops that for sure, and so happy for you and Julie, and you'll have many great times, I'm sure, in the years to come with the grandchild. Huskers got back in track thanks to Rink Mass. It was good to see him being Rink again and looking well-rested and strong again.
Yeah, that was good to see. I don't know where this team will end up, but they've got a fairly high ceiling.
I think so, to be sure, and hopefully they'll keep it rolling tomorrow night against Purdue. That, you know, when you look at the schedule, this is probably going to be their toughest game, other than those maybe the West Coast games coming up. I think so.
I think that's right. They've got some. You know, some more, you know, Rutgers was not the challenge that I think people thought it was going to be. And Purdue will definitely be their one team they've got to. It'll be the toughest to beat, and you just hope that they don't get beat by a sleeper. But, they could really have just an absolutely fantastic season.
It'll be fun to watch. Well, the reason you're here is to talk what's happening in the legislature, and it seems like we're heating up here, getting into the thick of things where bills are reaching the floor and getting some debate going. Wanted to ask you about your bill last week, which was heard in public hearing, the Community Improvement District Bill 1130, and it seems from what I read in the Telegraph that there wasn't any opposition over it, so it looks like so far so good on that.
Yeah, I've heard from third parties at this point. Senator McKinney is the chair of the Urban Affairs Committee, that he and evidently John Kavanaugh, who also sits on that committee, have both indicated they would like to see it part of the committee package, which would really be nice because the bill would then almost be guaranteed passage. So when you can get the free ride on the committee package, that's a good thing. But they both really like the bill. I don't know how much we'll use it in our part of the state, but I think we could. And you can never have enough tools in the toolbox. You don't have to use them all, but they're there when you need them. So I think it's a good bill.
Yep. It would let property owners in areas of a city or village form a community improvement district to build, repair, or replace streets, sidewalks, utilities, and other public amenities in their area. And essentially, people who accept a CID would agree to an extra property tax only inside its boundaries. But they can't be formed. These community improvement districts could not be formed without city or village hearings and consent. And I think I like that the best about it.
Yep. And a majority of the residents inside the CID have to sign a petition to create it or can be created. So a lot of safeguards. You're not going to be assessed a property tax that you didn't want to have. And if you choose not to be a part of it, if they can carve you out of it, they will. So they're doing everything. It's really set up to really accelerate the improvement of certain areas of town that would allow for just a better neighborhood and the ability to perhaps build more houses and improve the district, and without the city taking on the debt to do an extension district. And so there's something in it for everybody.
So also there was talk about this modifying Nebraska's minimum wage, which, of course, voters approved a couple of years ago. And Senator Stroman put forth a bill, which he prioritized, which has now moved to the governor's desk because you voted 33-16 to modify voter-approved increases in Nebraska's minimum wage. I don't think it's too radical. The voters approved to tie it to the consumer price index, and you just kind of modified that down a little bit. And how do you feel about modifying something the voters approved on the ballot there?
Well, I wrote my article this week. I would encourage people to read it because I dedicated it to this topic because I have had a lot of questions. I think for starters, virtually every ballot initiative has to come back to the legislature and get modified to fill in the blanks because the initiative is very short and sweet. I'd also tell you that we always talk about the first house being the legislature and the second house being the people. And it's important to keep in mind that when you go through the first house, you have to submit a bill. It has to go to public, have a public hearing. Then if it gets voted out of the public hearing, it has to go to the floor and get three rounds of debate, 8 hours on general file, 4 hours on select file, and 2 hours on final debate. So with that in mind, keep in mind that there's a lot of discussion, there's a lot of input from a lot of people along the way who are going to give their input on what's good about the bill, what's bad about the bill. Now, I don't know about you, but on these ballot initiatives that generally have been funded by out-of-state interests who spent millions of dollars to get it on the ballot to get the signatures. Keep in mind that many cases there's some ads on TV that will tell you what's in the ballot initiative, but otherwise you're simply going to the ballot box and you're taking about 15 seconds to read the ballot initiative. And you're voting.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that it gets the same scrutiny that you get with a bill that goes to the legislature. So it's always been out there that the legislature on these ballot initiatives has the ability to modify the bill with a 33 vote majority. Okay. And so so this is a pretty standard deal.
Yeah.
I would tell you that the things that weren't thought about, I don't think, or got missed, I believe, in the ballot initiative was, what do you do in small communities? I know there were articles written in various newspapers about the cheapest place to live in the country, and some of them were small towns in Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
And when you go into our smaller communities, you've got significantly lower cost of housing compared to the bigger cities. And so your cost to live is less. And minimum wage was never meant to be a living wage. It was meant to be a minimum wage. This is the least that you can pay someone. So by its very definition, it also can become an employment Limitation Act, because if I'm going to have a small business and I can't afford to pay my workers $15 an hour and paid sick leave and the other things that are required, I can't open my business, or I can't keep my business open. That's a problem. And so what the bill modified was it brought back something called a training wage, which was really meant for younger people, that 13, 14-year-olds, who are limited on, first of all, the hours they can work, limited by the fact that they can't drive, so they don't have a driver's license, they can't drive during for their work. So they're going to be less of a of a valued employee than someone who's older. And so you can pay them $13.50 an hour with this change. Still a significant increase in the minimum wage, and it will also increase, so it will be indexed. But now what you've done is you've given pretty much an advantage back to being able to hire younger people. So there's a youth wage, and then there's a training wage, and then you get to the $15 an hour. The other thing was, when you start looking at CPI and look at what that does, that really pushes the minimum wage up to a level to where many, many businesses will have a very difficult time continuing to be able to make it work. And so that's the reason I supported the bill. It needed 33 votes. It got 33. And so we'll see where it goes. But I just had a lot of calls from many small businesses, and I knew of a lot of small businesses in the district that, quite honestly, take the small grocery stores up in Thedford and Mullen, and think about the other small businesses that really would have to struggle to pay that wage to do the things that they need done, and it would also really limit being able to hire youth. And I think that's a problem. And so you could still pay more. This is just a minimum wage. You can't pay less. So I still think it's too high, probably at the level it's at, but at least we got it down to something that makes a little more sense.
Okay. A lot of hullabaloo over a bill which the speaker called off further second round debate last week. Seems like Senator Brian Hardin's bill to reinforce anti-Semitism training in Nebraska schools, colleges, and universities was foiled by who else but Megan Hunt? The least controversial person in the legislature. Ha ha. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, someone asked me that, said, "Mike, are you going to run for re-election?" And I said, "Yeah, I do plan to run again." They said, "Are you sure you want to do it? Because, you know, you could really be out enjoying yourself instead of spending your time down in the legislature." And I said, "Well, who says I'm not enjoying myself?" I said, "Where else can you have a ringside seat to the best circus in the state?"
Right.
And Friday was one of those days where you got to keep in mind that Senator Hunt and Senator Kavanaugh are in their final year of the legislature. Mm-hmm. And I've said from the beginning, this is their chance to act out one more time, make a scene on the floor. But I will tell you that the bill is a bill that I was not supporting simply because it was a mandate to schools to teach about anti-Semitism, and then it was going to, and then Senator McKinney wanted to add something about slavery, and, you know, and so where do you stop, you know? So The schools are teaching history now. I would rather that the local school boards and the Department of Education decide what ought to be taught and build the curriculum. And if there's problems with the curriculum, let's deal with it. But this was one of those cases where I felt it was that I didn't mind the content on the bill. I just wasn't sure that I wanted a mandate that it had to be taught in public schools. As I talk to smaller schools, they've got a full plate the way it is, and they already have a curriculum, and I think maybe the legislature should stand down. However, in this case, the battle wasn't over whether it should be taught. It should be what should be taught, and it was agreeing on the definition of anti-Semitism. And Senator Hunt is kind of a big pro-Palestinian person, so she wanted one that was less harsh and recognized the Palestinians and did some other things. It's like, so that's where the argument began. So it was interesting because Senator Hardin brought the bill. Senator Hunt evidently filed the floor amendment, did not bother talking to Senator Hardin before she filed it, which is not something you should be doing in the legislature. You should always be letting the person who filed the bill know what you did. And so she got up on the floor and said that, and wanted everybody to know that, and gave the excuse as to why she wasn't able to go talk to Senator Hardin before she filed it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she made that claim. So she basically made the excuse for why she did what she did. Then she says that Senator Hardin, that she went to Senator Hardin then later and said, well, I would have talked to you about the bill, but I couldn't find you and blah, blah, blah. And she then claimed that he said to her, well, you're going to get wet. And she said, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? And, well, you bring the thunder, it's going to rain. Well, evidently that is sexual harassment in her mind. Okay. And so then she had to get on the floor and tell the story and accuse him of harassment. I don't know, you decide, but maybe we should act like something more than third graders.
I think so.
And be mature and have, and just talk to people respectfully. I know it's a lot to ask, but I'm just saying, we could avoid so much of this if we would just be respectful. And that seems to be hard to do at times.
All
so
right.
This won't be the last outburst by one of the seniors in the senior class, but we lost the rest of Friday because Senator Kavanaugh decided she was going to filibuster the bill. Then Senator Arch, because it elevated, decided that he would pass over the bill, and we wouldn't debate it anymore Friday. So I've got three bills that were going to be up and should have been dispatched on select file on Friday. Instead, they got scheduled for today. I'm hoping we don't play this game again today, and that we can get through those bills today. So,
all right.
It's been interesting.
Yeah, always is. If people like to get a hold of you, they can contact your office down there in Lincoln or send you an email.
Yep, 402-471-2729 and M. Jacobson with an O at leg.ne.gov.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much.
And thanks again. See you later.